Today's scripture reading comes from Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
I'd like to remind everyone that we are continuing with our series in Colossians, picking up where we left off last week in the third chapter of this epistle, moving on to verse 17. As many of us know, and as we emphasized in our message from last week, the saving work of Christ Jesus on our behalf is appropriated through faith in him. The saving work of Christ is applied to us on the condition that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith, then, is the sole instrument by which the saving work of Christ is appropriated for ourselves. But when the gospel speaks of faith, it is not referring to believing whatever we want to believe about Christ. We are not saved through faith in the Jesus of our own imagination, in the Jesus that is according to our own personal ideas and preferences. We are saved through believing in the name of Jesus, where the name of Jesus refers to what is true about him. What God has revealed about him in Scripture concerning his person and his work. And that is what is meant when the gospel calls us to believe in the name of Jesus. John 1, 12 to 13. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It is not through faith in our own version of Jesus that we are saved, but through genuine trust in the Jesus who is, according to the proclamation of his apostles and the prophetic words of the prophets of God, both of which are providentially preserved for us in Holy Scripture. Well, in today's text, the name of Jesus is presented to us not only in terms of believing, but also in terms of doing. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. As those who believe in the name of the Lord Jesus, our text teaches us to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. So if we had to sum up all that is true concerning Jesus in one word, what word would that be? That word would be Lord. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. The reality of Christ's lordship should guide everything we do in both word and deed. That's essentially what is meant by doing everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Of course, if the reality of Jesus' lordship is to guide everything we do, we must first receive him as Lord. Trust him as Lord. We will not live for the Lord Jesus if we do not believe he is Lord. The problem is, so many call Jesus Lord while failing to comprehend what it really means to call Jesus Lord. To call Jesus Lord is not merely an honorific in recognition of his sacrifice for us. Scripture refers to God as what? As Lord, the Lord God. And Scripture also refers to Jesus as the Lord Jesus. To call Jesus Lord is to confess his supreme authority as God. To receive Jesus as Lord means to trust in him as the supreme authority of the universe and the supreme authority over our lives. In reference to Jesus, the Apostle Peter proclaims in Acts 10 that he is Lord of all. Well, there's only one Lord of all, and that is God. So to believe that Jesus is Lord of all is to believe that he is the second person of the Trinity who has come in the flesh, to whom is due all the love and obedience that is due to God himself. As John Frame helpfully points out, to say that Jesus is Lord is to say that he is everything that God is. If we recall from earlier in this series in Colossians, the meaning of Jesus' lordship was summed up in chapter 1. Concerning the name of Jesus Christ, we read in the first chapter of Colossians from verse 15 to 20, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. That's the meaning of lordship. As we can see, it's far more than just an honorific title. Have we received Christ Jesus as Lord? Who is Jesus? He is Lord. He is, read in verse 15 of Colossians 1, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. This statement in verse 15, if you recall, is another way of saying that Jesus is God incarnate. He is the image of the invisible God. We cannot see God. But when God came into the world and dwelt among us in the person of his Son, people witnessed the visible incarnation of the invisible God. He is the image of the invisible God. As Jesus declared to his disciple Philip in John 14, verse 9, have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. To see Jesus is to see the Father. And that is because he is God in the flesh, fully man and fully God. And if we read on in verse 15 of Colossians 1, Jesus is called the firstborn of all creation. In keeping with biblical customs, and as is true with many traditional cultures, including Korean culture, the firstborn son is quite special. The firstborn son is endowed with leadership and authority over the other siblings of the family. So what does this mean in reference to Jesus, where he is called the firstborn of all creation? Well, what this means is that Christ Jesus, the eternal Son of God, exercises leadership and authority, not only over the family of God, which is true, of course, but over all of creation. He is the firstborn of all creation. And this right of leadership and authority belongs to him because, as we read on in Colossians 1, he is the creator of all things. Verse 16, for by him, it's referring to Jesus, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. So we're getting a better picture of what it means when the scripture calls Jesus Lord. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth. See, somehow, the Father created everything through his Son. And that's confirmed for us in John chapter 1, verse 3. All things were made through him, in reference to Jesus, the Son, and without him was not anything made that was made. Let me read that again. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Christ, Jesus, was not made. Through him, all things were made. What does that mean? He is the creator, not the created. Thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities, this is referring to angels of every rank, were created through him. So what does that mean? It means Christ Jesus is not an angel. He is the creator of angels, to be worshipped by them as much as he is to be worshipped by us. And this is what we read in Hebrews 1, verse 6 to 8. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, remember, in Colossians 1, verse 17, Jesus is called the firstborn of all creation. Here he is called the firstborn into the world. He says, let all God's angels worship him. Excuse me, I said verse 17 of Colossians. I meant verse 15. Let all God's angels worship him. So we read on Hebrews 1, verse 7. Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. That's what scripture says of angels. Ministers. But now look at what scripture says about the Son. But of the Son, he says, listen, your throne, O God. Let me read that one more time. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. Let all God's angels worship him. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God. Christ Jesus is God. And this becomes even more clear as we read on in Colossians 1 to verse 17. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Christ is before all things. He's not a thing. He is before all things. We're things. Christ is before all things. Christ is before everything that has been made. What does that mean? It means he was never created. is eternal. As the second person of the Trinity, he is co-equal and co-eternal with the Father. And this becomes clear as we read other passages of Scripture, such as Isaiah 44:6. In that verse, God calls himself the first and the last. Isaiah 44:6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. The first and the last, that is a title reserved for God alone. But now look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 to 18. There the risen and exalted Lord Jesus Christ calls himself by that very same title. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead, but he laid his right hand on me saying, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. The Lord Jesus calls himself the first and the last. God calls himself the first and the last. In Revelation 1, God refers to himself as the Alpha and the Omega in verse 8. In Revelation 22, Jesus refers to himself as what? As the Alpha and the Omega. Revelation 22, verse 13. So again, both God and Christ refer to themselves as the first and the last and the Alpha and the Omega. How can that be? It's because God the Father and God the Son are one. And so in John 10:30, this is what Jesus declares. I and the Father are one. So Scripture leaves no room to conclude anything other than the fact that Christ Jesus is incarnate God. And in the Lord Jesus, as we read on in Colossians 1:17, all things hold together. Christ Jesus holds the universe together. All of created reality owes its continued existence to Christ Jesus. And we read much the same in Hebrews 1, verse 3. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. In him all things hold together. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. The cosmos was created through Christ. The cosmos holds together in Christ. If not for Christ holding us together at this very moment by the word of his power, we would disintegrate. See, this is not the language that we use for anyone other than God, which is who Christ Jesus is. Scripture leaves no room at all to regard Jesus as anyone less than incarnate God. If we truly accept Jesus for who he really is, the only appropriate response is to fall at his feet in worship, declaring as Thomas once did when facing the resurrected Jesus in John 20, verse 28. My Lord and my God. So we're getting a clear idea of what Scripture means, what the gospel means when Jesus is proclaimed as Lord. My Lord and my God. Regard him as any less than God is a refusal to believe in his name. God the Son came in the flesh to fulfill all righteousness on our behalf and to make atonement for our sins on the cross. And as proof that his suffering and death was sufficient payment for our sins, God raised his Son from the dead on the third day. From there, Christ Jesus ascended into heaven to be exalted to the right hand of the Father, where he reigns, as we read in Ephesians 1:21, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And although the risen Lord Jesus reigns at the right hand of the Father as King over the cosmos, many refuse to recognize his rule. And we see that's evident everywhere around us. But if we have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, we do recognize his rule. We do embrace his rule as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Christ Jesus is our head, and we are his body, governed and ruled by him in a world that rejects his authority. And so we read in Colossians 1:18, as we read on in that marvelous passage, and he is the head of the body, the church. And onto his believing body, onto his true church, the gospel proclaims a precious promise. As we read on in verse 18, he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. Christ Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. What does that mean? Well, we already talked about what firstborn means. It means Christ Jesus is preeminent in the family of God, consisting of all who trust in him, who will one day be resurrected from the dead like himself. That's why he's called the firstborn from the dead. On that day of his promised return, according to the gospel, our perfected souls will be reunited with our resurrected, glorified bodies, and we will be like our Lord, conform to his risen image, and we will live forever in the family of God, in the house of God, with our blessed brother and Lord, Jesus Christ, in a new creation, in a new heaven and new earth. And that becomes clear as we read on in Colossians 1. From verse 19 to 20. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. The purpose of Christ's incarnation was not only to reconcile to himself his people, but to reconcile to himself all things. Did you notice how often all things is repeated in Colossians 1? Let's read it again. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. What is all things referring to? All things, all things, all things. All things refers to creation. All things were created through him. For by him all things were created. And in him all things hold together. So what we're reading in Colossians 1 is that Christ Jesus came not only to reconcile to himself people, such as you and I, but also creation itself. To reconcile creation itself to him. See, since Adam sinned in the garden, what happened to creation? Creation came under God's curse. We know the story in Genesis 3. Disease, corruption, death were introduced into the world. The paradise of God's creation was lost due to sin. That's why there's so much misery all around us. Yet it is the promise of the gospel. It is a promise of the gospel to all who have received the gift of eternal life through faith in Christ, that when He returns and we are resurrected in glory, then our Lord will free all of creation from His curse, and we will dwell with Him in a new creation. And there in that new creation, we will worship God and Christ our Lord and serve Him forever and ever. Read Revelation 22. So Jesus Christ is Lord. That is a massive statement. There's no way that we can hold true to the biblical definition of Lord as it applies to Christ Jesus and think of Him as a man only, or as a great teacher, or as a founder of a religious movement. There's just no way. That's simply not what Lord means. We just defined it step by step, what Lord means as it applies to God in Christ. Christ Jesus is Lord. He is the eternal Son of God, the second person of the triune Godhead, sent by the Father into the world for our salvation. As the Creator, He is preeminent over all of creation. To Him belongs supreme authority over all He has made. We're talking about Christ Jesus. In willing humiliation, Christ came into this world and was born, fulfilled all righteousness on our behalf, and suffered sin's penalty as our substitute on the cross. He did so in order that God could justly forgive us and free us from our eternal death sentence and bring us into everlasting fellowship with Himself. As proof of this, God raised Jesus from the dead. And according to the gospel, as we've emphasized earlier in this message and also last week, we may appropriate the gift of what Christ has done for us by what? By believing not just anything that we want to believe about Him, but by believing in His name. Trusting in Him for who He really is. And who He really is Lord. We've received the gift of eternal life. We need not fear death any longer, since it is not the punishment of hell we will face beyond the grave, but a secure passage into heaven, where our souls will enjoy rest until He returns. Following His resurrection, Christ ascended into heaven and has been exalted at the Father's right hand. We always recite this in the Apostles' Creed, and it should be nothing new for any of us, where He reigns as King over all. And while the world does not recognize and refuses to embrace Jesus as Lord and King, the church consists of those who do. And so if that is true of us, Christ Jesus is our head, and we are members of His body, governed and ruled by Him amid a world in unbelieving rebellion. According to the gospel, our Lord has promised to return, and once He does, there will be a resurrection. The believing will be raised bodily onto everlasting glory, and the unbelieving will be raised bodily onto everlasting judgment. And then all of creation will be set free from God's curse. And all who have trusted in the Lord Jesus will live forever in that new creation with Him in sublime, inexpressible, perfect joy. And so going back to today's text, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. To do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus is to do everything in a manner that accords with the will of our God, Creator, and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. That's what it means. Jesus Christ has rescued us from sin and death for a reason, according to Scripture. And that reason is that in order that we might belong to Him. And this is what we read in Romans chapter 1, verse 6. The relationship between believers and the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'll start from verse 5 and we'll read on to verse 6 in Romans 1. Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of His name among all the nations, including you, in reference to the true church of God, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. That's why Christ Jesus gave His life for us, to redeem us from sin, so that we may belong to Him. If we have received the gift of eternal life, we now belong to Jesus Christ. What does that mean, in essence? Well, think again. Who is Christ? And we just unpacked it. We're given another angle of who Christ is in Jude chapter 1, verse 4. So we read there. Our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Who is Christ? He is our only Master and Lord. How often do we address Jesus as our Master? Remember, the name of Jesus refers to what is true about Jesus. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, not believe anything we want to believe about Him, believed in His name, what is true about Him. What is true about Jesus? He is Master and Lord. To do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus means we're always considering what our Master wants us to do. Always considering our Master's will in all that we do. Am I speaking as my Master and Lord would have me speak? Am I behaving in the way my Master and Lord would have me behave? Am I thinking the way that my Master and Lord would have me think? Earlier in this chapter of Colossians, we were given guidelines as to how our Master and Lord, Jesus Christ, would have us conduct ourselves. Spent many weeks going over it. We're going to read through it one more time, just as review. Here's the will of our Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And today's text, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. The will of our only Master and Lord for our conduct in this world has been revealed to us in His Word. It's called the Word of Christ. That's referring to the Bible. Just think back 3 weeks ago. I think it was 3 weeks ago. So how He wants us to live is not a mystery. It's not confusing. As passages such as the one we just looked at makes evident, our Lord has made it very clear as to how He would have us conduct ourselves in this life, both in word and in deed. If we believe in the name of our Lord Jesus, that's an if, because I don't assume that everyone does. I'll never assume it. If we believe in the name of our Lord Jesus, that is a... We can only do that by the grace of God upon our hearts. If we believe in the name of our Lord Jesus, let us do everything in the name of our Lord Jesus as well. Do we believe in the name of our Lord Jesus? It's not just an honorific. It essentially means, as we unpacked it in Colossians 1, it means He's God incarnate. He is our Creator. He is the one who laid down His life for us in order that we may belong to Him. It means that He is exalted at the right hand of God at this very moment and reigns as the King of the universe. It means that He will one day return. And when He does, we who have trusted in Him will be resurrected unto glory, be raised in a body like His own. And those who have refused to believe in Him will be raised unto dishonor and to eternal judgment. That is the gospel. Do we believe in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ? Then let us do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Let's pray. Holy Father, insofar as what has been preached from this pulpit is in keeping with Your holy word, the word of Christ Jesus, we pray, Lord, that we who are truly Your own, purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, who belong to our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that we would listen and apply what we have been taught in Your word, that if we believe in the name of our Lord, then we ought to do everything in the name of our Lord. And so we pray that we would always be mindful of Your will for us as our Lord. As we go about our day and business, our occupation, school, as we rest, whatever it is that we do, that we would always be thinking and considering, are we doing so in a way that is pleasing to our Lord Jesus Christ? And Lord God, we pray also for those who do not believe. And we pray, Lord God, please preserve them and protect them so that they may have continued opportunities to hear your gospel and by your grace repent and believe. But let them also know that the time to repent and believe is not indefinite. For it has been appointed for man to die once, and then comes judgment. And so, Father, we pray that they too, Lord God, would recognize the urgency of this, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the one way that you have appointed, O God, for us to be freed from our sins and to be reconciled unto you. And so, Father, to that end, we pray you would bless your word within our hearts for your glory and for the comfort of your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.